This is the CPC Podcast for Sunday, September 15th, 2019. Reason to celebrate. This podcast was recorded live at Central Presbyterian Church in Pine Bluff, Arkansas. I'm your host, Zach Cosner. In church news this week, our next Blue Moon event will be a Mexican pile-on. It will happen on Sunday, September 29th at 5:30 p.m. If you're interested in attending, a sign-up sheet is in the narthex. Junior High Youth Quake will take place from September 27th through September 29th at Ferncliff Camp and Conference Center in Little Rock. The Peace and Global Witness Offering will be taking place on World Communion Sunday, October 6th. For more information about this offering, please see our website. Central Pres will be holding our annual Trunk or Treat event on Saturday, October 26th. Look for more details to be coming soon. With all that being said, let's go ahead and turn it over to Reverend Tim Reeves.
Psalm 14. Let us listen for the word of the Lord. Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt. They do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good. No, not one. Have they no knowledge? All the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord. There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion. When the Lord restores the fortune of his peoples, Jacob will rejoice. Israel will be glad. Our second reading comes from First Letter to Timothy, beginning in the first chapter with verse 12 and proceeding through verse 17. Again, let us listen for the word of the Lord. I am grateful to Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. And finally, from the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, beginning with the first verse and proceeding through verse 10. Again, let us listen for the word of the Lord. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him, and the Pharisees and scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable: which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Open now our hearts and minds, O God, by the power and presence of your Holy Spirit, so that as your word is proclaimed this day, we may hear with joy what it is you would have us hear. That hearing we might believe, and that believing we might live lives of richer and fuller service, glorifying you here on earth as you are glorified in heaven. Amen. There is an old story that tells of the good fortune of a hard-working farmer. Seems the Lord appeared to this farmer one day and told this man that he would grant him three requests, but with one condition. Whatever the Lord did for this farmer, the Lord would do double for his next door neighbor. Well, the farmer, scarcely believing his good fortune, immediately asked God for 100 head of cattle. And almost immediately, 100 of the finest, most expensive head of cattle appeared in our friend's field. And he was ecstatic until he looked over at his neighbor's field and saw 200 head of cattle. So next he said, "God, with all of this cattle, I'm going to need more land to graze them on. So how about 100 more acres of land?" And God said, "Done." And the man was overjoyed until he looked over at his neighbor's farm that had now grown by 200 acres. Rather than celebrating God's goodness, the farmer began to feel jealous and slighted because his neighbor received more than he had. So can you guess what his third request was? He said, "God, my final request is that you strike me blind in one eye." And God wept. Sadly, there is something all too true and all too familiar about that story. The harboring of jealousies and resentments and feelings of ill will toward others is common in each one of us. There exists in us all a desire to hoard God's blessings for ourselves, and it's almost second nature. The sense that we alone are entitled to God's lavish grace speaks volumes about what we, in our heart of hearts, really believe about a sovereign God. And while we may not necessarily wish to go blind in one eye in the hope that our neighbor will go blind in both, we do have an uncanny way of cutting off our nose to spite our face. Now add to that a rather large dose of self-righteousness, and all the ingredients are in place for the exclusion of others as neither worth our time nor God's attention. For the Pharisees of Jesus' day, those who were deemed unworthy of their time or God's attention were sinners and tax collectors. For the Pharisees in the church today, and yes, those attitudes still tragically exist, the list of those who are deemed unworthy of our time and God's attention is disturbingly long, far too long to try and list here. If we are truly honest with ourselves, each of us likely has more than a few names we would add to a list of those whom we would just prefer God not to bless. You see, for all the Church of Jesus Christ's talk about hating the sin and loving the sinner, in actuality, we seldom ever separate the two. And eventually, what began as a holy and noble ideal has devolved into a registry of those whom we love to hate. I thought about that a lot on Wednesday as this nation marked the 18th anniversary of the terrorist attacks. Men filled with hatred and a skewed view of who God is and what God demands. Took the lives of 3,000 some people. I thought about that Wednesday as I was teaching a class and we were discussing some of the events which led to the creation of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights as I'm preparing my students to read a book and examine how human rights have been violated in this novel. And it dawned on me that there are children in this country and in Afghanistan about to graduate high school. And for 18 years of their lives have known nothing but war. And I looked out at these fifth graders and said, you know, it won't be too long till they may be asked to serve. When you really think about it, that's just a few years down the road, isn't it? Now, to be fair to the Pharisees in Jesus' day and in our day, I don't think that they started out with such sinister motives. At least my sincere hope is they didn't. Rather, I like to think that they started out with good intentions. To be holy as God is holy. To uphold and maintain the peace, purity, and unity of God's covenantal community, to keep God's covenant people from being engulfed by the idolatrous forces and motives that lay siege to God's people. But the problem arises when good intentions are coupled with presumption, or ignorance, or just plain sinfulness. And we forget that we ourselves are not pure, and that we therefore have no right to define who or what is pure, or to exclude others based on our skewed definitions of purity. We like to divide the world into good and evil, sinner and saint, insider, outsider. But the portrait that we have of humanity in Scripture is far more complex. Douglas John Hall, in his book entitled The Steward, A Biblical Symbol Come of Age, writes, "We are one minute unprofitable servants and the next friends of God. Here we appear a little lower than the angels, and there beings whose very righteousness is as filthy rags. Now we are sons and daughters of God, then a few pages over, enemies, betrayers of God's anointed, slayers of God's prophets and priests, We are brides, we are harlots, we are lords, we are slaves, we are keepers of the earth, we are wastrels and prodigals. We are freed men and freed women, we are prisoners. We are self-righteous boasters and hypocrites, and we are little children, innocent and trusting. We are both oppressor and victim, and all of these things in Scripture are true about each one of us. So I believe David knew about which he wrote when in the 14th Psalm he said, "Fools say in their hearts, there is no God. They are corrupt, they do abominable deeds, there is no one who does good." But Tim, we came to church to feel good about ourselves today. Well, the good news is coming, I promise. But I would dare say there are numerous Christians the world over who read those words from the 14th Psalm and think smugly, well, those words don't apply to me. I believe in God. I know there's a God. I'm here on Sunday morning worshiping God. David's not talking about me. Isn't it so very human how we always look for a way out, try to find that loophole? But note this, contrary to popular opinion, the issue in this psalm is not one of atheism, as we understand it, the philosophical belief that there is no God. Rather, the issue is what theologians call practical atheism, not thinking to ourselves, oh, God is just a myth, but thinking to ourselves, God exists, but it doesn't matter how I act. Practical atheism says we can do whatever we want as if there is no God. We can choose whatever we want and not have to live with the consequences of those choices. Now that is foolish, isn't it? And I doubt very seriously I'm saying anything that we don't already know deep down, but I do think it is rather interesting that we quickly and conveniently forget this when we are dealing with others. The Pharisees did with the tax collectors and the sinners. Paul did with the followers of Christ until encountering the risen Christ on the road to Damascus. We do it when we look at others in horror or disdain and proclaim, not one of us, because they come from a different place or have a different color of skin or a different understanding of Scripture. Yes, all we, like sheep, have strayed. But the biblical witness that we have of God is one who comes looking for the lost sheep who have strayed. Which brings me to our parable this morning from Luke's gospel. Jesus begins by welcoming sinners, tax collectors, eating with them. And the religious leaders of the day were scandalized. So he tells them a parable and says, which one of you, if you had 100 sheep, would leave the 99 sheep behind in the wilderness to go searching for the one? The wilderness is a place of wild animals, very little food and resource or water. And Jesus sets up his audience beautifully. He says, which one of you would leave the majority of your flock in peril to go find one that was lost. Well, good business practices would say you write that off as a tax deduction and you redouble your efforts to keep the 99 safe. But Jesus isn't talking about good business practices. He's talking about the kingdom of God. And they bite. Well, of course we would go and say that. But look at this. Jesus never returns this sheep to the fold in the story. Those 99 are still left out in the wilderness. They're never mentioned again. The one who was lost is placed on the shepherd's shoulder, who takes it home. In seminary, we used to say, and they had one big old barbecue. Probably not, but you know. Takes it home where there is rejoicing. Why would he not return it to the 99? Because Jesus has his audience right where he wants them. The 99 represent the righteous, those who need no repentance. And the Pharisees are smugly saying to all of the people who will listen about Jesus, look at him. He's no religious leader. He welcomes sinners. He eats with tax collectors. Is this the kind of person you want influencing your children? And Jesus says, what you don't understand is you are as lost in your own self-righteousness as that sheep in my story. But the good news is I'm coming to look for you too. Isn't that a beautiful story? I love the way Luke tells this story. Everyone is lost. And Jesus comes looking for each and every one of us and rejoices when we are found. Not only does he rejoice, we are told God in heaven and the angels before his throne rejoice when a repentant sinner is found. Wow. Is there any wonder why we call this the good news? And then, to hammer home his point even further, Jesus tells the story of the lost coin. I love this story too, because he's talking about a woman here who doesn't have a whole lot of money. The money in question is probably 10 drachmas, the Hebrew equivalent of the Roman denarius, which was a day's wage, would have meant a lot to someone, but certainly it's no Bill Gates type fortune. Because if it were this huge, massive fortune, then everyone would drop what they were doing to find it, wouldn't they? How many times have I caught myself pulling my keys out of my pocket and I'm in a hurry, and when I pull my keys out, change falls down on the ground? Oh, I'll just leave that for someone else. Especially if it's a penny, right? Can't even buy a gumball anymore for a penny. But God sees that worthless piece that I just discarded and said, that's valuable. I want that. Because that represents who we are. And so Jesus says to the Pharisees, you look down your noses at these men and women, but what God sees in them is a priceless treasure, just as what God sees in you is a priceless treasure. I wonder if someone had taken the time, instead of educating men how to fly planes and crash them into buildings, if someone had just taken a moment to talk about how much value God places on every single human life, if our history today would have been different. We can't go back 18 years and change the past. But we do have control over what happens in our present. And our Lord has laid out before us the truth that we are all lost until we have been found by Him. And that we are all, regardless of who we are, where we come from, who our parents are, what language we speak, what color of our skin, are valued as a treasure to behold in the eyes of God. And if we leave this place, this day, and share that message in our lives with everyone we meet, imagine what our tomorrows might be. To God be all the honor, glory, and praise forever. Amen.
Thanks again to Reverend Tim Reeves. If you enjoyed what you heard today, hit that subscribe button. We're on Apple Podcasts, we're in the Google Podcast app, and we're also on the Stitcher app. And leave us a review no matter what app you use. It helps people find us. You can find us also on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter and on Instagram. Our username is CentralPresPB, which is conveniently also the address of our website. You can find us at www.centralprespb.com. At the website, you'll find worship schedules, our Central Scene newsletter, and other news and notes from around the church. Our theme music is brought to you by Excel Music Publishing, who can be found at www.freemusicpublicdomain.com. That'll do it for this week's episode. I'm your host, Zach Cosner, and I hope you have a great week. See you next time.